Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Okay, let's do this. I'm nervous.
No, this is so exciting!
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Showmits.
Make sure to subscribe to the show.
Leave a 5-star rating.
And a nice review.
And spread the word.
Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
Welcome to Showman's Glee Recap Edition. I'm Jen Ushkowitz.
I'm Kevin McHale.
Kevin, episode number 2. Woo!
Well, technically speaking, it's episode 1. Yes.
So confusing.
On the script, is it episode 2? Do you remember what it said on the script? It's like 1 arc 0 2. They had all these numbers and letters that I did not understand for years.
No, I think it's 1 because that's why we always think we're, you know, we're in an episode. Yes, off.
So we've always thought about time in terms of what happened on Glee when. Like for those 6 or 7 years we were doing the show, I categorized time in terms of what season and what episode we were doing.
100% mile markers.
Yes, exactly. So I think we should just call this episode 2.
Pilot was 1.
Episode 2.
Episode 2 is Showman!
Our namesake.
Wow.
We got there.
This really, you know, the title of our podcast, like, came from the, you know, that we are a showmans, you and I technically, but also, like, we were like, how apropos.
Yeah.
The second episode of Glee was called Showmans.
And here we are.
And here we are with our own showmans talking about showmans.
And I've said it on the show before, and I'll say it again. This is how I learned of the term showmans. Because of the title of this episode.
Welcome to the world, Kevin.
Yes. So, what was going to recap? We...
Recap.
To recap, we shot the pilot in the month of October.
Right, October.
Yeah, 2008.
Uh-huh. And then picked up February of 2009.
No, we found out, you and Leah called me, I think, in December?
December 16th.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, dates.
Yeah. Leah and I were about to go to a Joe's Pub concert, perform at a Joe's Pub concert for a Spring Awakening Christmas show. And on the way, I was staying with her. We found out and we were like getting ready and showered. And we took a photo actually of ourselves at that very moment. But then we called you first.
Yes.
And you had to pull
Respect.
Over.
I was driving. It was raining in LA, like the once a year it rains. And I had my mom in the car and you guys called. And I'm like, I'm going to drive off the road.
Yeah.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I still didn't really know what it meant.
I didn't either.
Like, a pickup means you got picked up for, we got picked up for 13, for example.
Right.
So 13 episodes.
But
that didn't really faze me because, like, I was so poor at the time anyway that I was like, wow, that's cool, like, money. But, like, I had no sense of, like, working.
In my head, I was like, cha-ching! I was like, yes, I can finally afford to pay for gas to get down to the studio to film it.
I know. Well, I had to borrow money, too, to moved to LA from New York.
Yeah, I had to borrow money from the pilot, but
all right. So we picked up February of 2009. We started shooting. Showmans was the first one, but I moved here in January.
Yeah, because here's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So fun fact: the first couple seasons, we rehearsed. The choreography happened in this place called the Tin Shed
with Zach Woodley,
the choreographer, and Brooke Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
It actually was on the second floor of the back lot, like fake New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the tin shed because it literally had a tin roof and it
was steamy.
It trapped heat in there.
So hot.
Let me tell you, when it got to those summer months, the heat would just not go anywhere.
The glamorous life of Glee.
But we didn't know any better. So we're like, this is fine.
Well, there was also only 5 of us at the time. So it was fine when you throw 20 of us in there.
Yeah.
Different story.
It was also when I learned that if you just drink protein shakes and not work out, you gain weight. because we had so much time, so we weren't starting to shoot the show until February. We started rehearsing
January.
Push It. Ugh. In January. I think we rehearsed it for 3 to 4 weeks, that one number.
Which is so ironic because later in the season, we had no time at all, and we would learn things the night before and sometimes the morning of.
Yeah.
So that was ironic that we had all that time for Don't Stop, which we talked about in the pilot, and also now all these numbers that had like a million sites. But ironically, also when we get to it, Take a Bow was a very last minute. So we got a taste of both in this
episode. It was, I really, that time was special to me because I remember we would actually have proper warm-ups and stretches. And here's the coolest thing to me. This is one of my favorite memories of the show ever, is that we shot the pilot on location. So we were going between Burbank and Long Beach and shooting in real high schools. And for Showmance, because it was the start of the actual season, we got to go to Paramount in LA, and it's the most beautiful historic lot in Los Angeles. And we took over, I think at that point we had two stages. And I remember Ryan taking us around as they were building all the sets, and everything was just wood frames at that point. And we were just in shock, like, oh my God, we get to like drive through these famous gates every single day to go to work.
I Love Lucy shot there. You know, all these like the Ten Commandments was on the stage that we shot, where we shot the choir room.
It was the tallest stage in the world. It had a tank of water underneath.
And the funniest part, like now looking back, all the photos I have in February of 2009 are of welcome to the new shows to Paramount lot. And there's like banners in front of the commissary where we would eat lunch. And it was Glee on a music staff. And then the photos jumped to straight to the bright blue shirts of Push It, where Kevin and I were hopped up on Red Bulls.
First time I ever had Red Bull.
Well, because Don't Stop had taken so long to shoot, and it was such an extensive process to us. We were like, I don't know what we're in for.
We overcorrected the other direction.
We did. And we were on one.
I mean, this, to me, this whole episode is about, I know Showmance literally, narratively, is establishing some showmances in the show that would carry on for the entirety of the series. But to me, it was Push It, because that was sort of our golden goose of, we are doing this. And it felt like us. We're all trashy and gross.
Garbage people.
We're obsessed with each other by this point. And really coming into our own as like friends outside of the show. And it was a, nothing bonds you like humping each other in dance
rehearsal.
Honestly,
for weeks before we even had to do it in front of people. Anyway, we'll get to that. But I feel like this is also the budding showmance of Kevin and Jenna.
It's true. This is where we all really bonded. Because you know what happened during this time? And I think I've probably told this story before, but I'll tell it again.
What?
One of my favorite things about this, or special, I think this bonded us, was that we all talked about how broke we were. We were sitting on the couches in the tin shed, and we all talked about how everyone had moved out to LA who didn't live here, and we were doing this thing, but we didn't have any money because we all were so in debt that we spent all the money we had made on the pilot paying people back or whatever we needed to do. We were all super broke, and nobody wants to talk about money because it's a weird, awkward thing. And it wasn't like we were sitting around and being like, we're making so much money. We were just like, oh, we can afford to like pay for lunch now, which is nice. However, we were still broke in shooting this show. And I remember we all talked how, do you think if we all asked our agents if we could get an advance on the first episode? And so the like the first, the OG five or six of us were all together, and we were like, I think we need to do this.
That.
And we did.
And we did.
We came together. It was in the first couple weeks of rehearsal, and we asked for an advance.
Well, because also the thing is, like, sometimes it can take a really long time on television for you to get your checks. Like, they backlog very quickly. Before we keep going, let's give a shout out to Rothy's. If you care about style and sustainability, then the perfect fit for you is Rothy's. Rothy's makes stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles. They're super comfortable, fully machine washable, and they have over 1,000 nearly perfect reviews. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/showmance. I have been wearing Rothy's for a long time, you guys. I have the slip-ons in black, gray, and navy blue, and I love them because I can wear them anywhere, and then I put them in the washer, and they're, like, brand new. And you can also buy new insoles so that when your insoles get a little old, you can put some new ones in. Rothy's come in an ever-changing array of colors, prints, and patterns, and they're available in a range of styles like sneakers, loafers, points, and more. They are seamlessly knit using thread made from plastic water bottles, so they're ultra comfortable as soon as you slip them on. Rothy's own and operate their manufacturing workshop, where they prioritize sustainability every step of the way, which has helped them divert over 35 million water bottles from landfills. That's amazing. They ship directly in their shoebox, no unnecessary packaging, because I hate it when I get packages with boxes and boxes and boxes, with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. Go to Rothys.com, Rothys.com/showmans to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothys.com/showmans today. If you like our show, you're going to love Heather Dubrow's World on Podcast One. The former Real Housewife of Orange County turned best-selling author is coming at you two times a week to share her stories about life and family and chats it up with some fabulous guests over some champs. You don't want to miss a second of it. Check out Heather Dubrow's World every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Kevin, do you want to do this?
Yeah, should we break down, get into the episode?
Let's get into the episode. So this week is episode 2, Glee Cap, Showmans. Okay, so this one was directed by Ryan Murphy. It was written by
Ryan Murphy, Brad Falchuk, and Ian Brennan.
So brilliant.
I mean, they wrote the first two seasons by themselves, which is crazy.
That's wild. Okay, so director Ryan Murphy, we said that. And then these were the songs that were in Showmans. Gold Digger, Push It, Say a Little Prayer for You, and Take a Bow.
So good.
This is great.
Yeah, it was okay. Really good. I have... Also, and don't forget,
yeah,
we also did Freak Out.
That's right. So basically, let's talk about this episode. Overall, Sue Sylvester breaks the news to Mr. Shu, and he realizes that he needs 12 members in the Glee Club to qualify for regionals. And if we don't qualify for regionals, Figgins is cutting the program.
Yes.
And there's many a showmance budding between...
Oh my gosh.
The love triangle begins between Finn, Rachel, and Quinn, who... early Diana is my favorite.
I also have to say, I forgot... I think originally I was like, oh, poor Rachel. She's so nerdy and dorky, has no chance in hell. And then watching it, I was like, no, she's like super self-assured, even if she's faking it,
yeah,
and is going up against the popular girl and sort of was like eating her for lunch. I was like, I really respect how hard she's going. I'm like, no, I know who I am. I'm doing me. You figure yourself out.
It's true. That's the product of two gay dads. So we get through and we get to see the unofficial first slushy of the season. I say unofficial because we saw it in
slushy,
the pilot.
Yes.
Yeah, and that set the tone. But that's when we realized this was probably going to be a thing that was going to happen to Rachel Berry.
Yeah.
Right?
Just Rachel Berry.
100%.
Little did
there
we
was
know.
We did not know. We did not know.
We all sort of ignored it. We're like, oh, that sucks for you. You have to do that again.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
One of the questions from a fan. Well, actually, it's a fan, but they work at Podcast One because Steve went around and asked for Q&A questions from fans that of employees of Podcast
One. Love that. So in the future, you guys just write in.
Yeah.
Ask us all the questions.
Write all the questions. We have a hotline. We'll give you all that information later. Did you ever slushy each other behind the scenes? Hell!
Absolutely not. No.
There's no way.
If we're going to be slushy, we better be getting paid for it.
Okay.
We don't have time. The cleanup on a slushy is such a pain in the ass.
And how many times would you do it, like actually shoot a slushy? Twice? Maybe three times?
Maybe. I only did it once, the one time I was slushy.
And then they'd have to cart you to the gym, the Paramount gym, where you would shower. They would tie you off. You'd have to get back through makeup. And then you'd have to do it again.
Oh, maybe I... No,
yes.
I did do it twice.
No.
I think I did do it twice because I'm like, I don't remember a shower. I was in Will's office, and they just rubbed me down with shaving cream.
Oh, God. So the Glee Club is having its set of troubles with Mr. Shu. This is when we do La Freak.
Yes.
It opens up with us doing this crazy, horrible disco number.
Because, like, Mr. Shu, he does not have it going on.
He's... And they, well, he won with this song.
Yeah, in
back
the 90s.
In the day, in the I think it was earlier, Kevin.
I think it was early 90s.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
And us as the Glee Club were not having it.
Oh, God. It was such a bad. I just remember being like, ew, this number. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ew, we have to do this number.
I even hated recording it.
I loved it.
Anything with that song, I was like, no.
Oh, thank you.
No, absolutely not. Because we knew the power of Push It by this point.
That's so true.
That's why I was just waiting for that.
It's the climax. No pun intended. So the kids need to perform. The Glee kids need to perform at the pep rally to recruit other members. And we have to make it, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Desirable to join.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We have to entice the children.
Yes, thank you. But we're obviously embarrassed by Tina, Artie, Mercedes, and Rachel are all embarrassed, and Kurt, sorry. But I remember how quick this was to shoot because it was fun. We got to dance a little bit and move around. We weren't jaded and tired by then. And there was only five of us. So it like really, it was like they covered the kids and then they covered Mr. Shu and that was it.
Yeah.
Like the days when there weren't 18 people in the choir room was we didn't know what was coming.
No.
We didn't know.
Because what happens is the camera literally has to, we have to do the scene every time, and the camera has to follow each character individually. So you're doing the scene
painting
at a minimum.
That's what they would call it. 18 times.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sometimes they would do two shots, and that would be 17 times. Anyway, this scene also made me giggle. I mean, watching the show back in general, because it's been so long, like especially the earlier seasons, makes my heart skip a beat and I giggle so much like a little schoolgirl because watching you, Kevin, when they close up on you in the freak and we do the little like cannon where you use your arms and like we're all like twisting and using our legs and like we were still figuring out like what to do with you and how you were going to modify these things to make it look like you were still a part of the group and doing the choreography is very, very funny.
Let me tell you, I think I nailed it.
I think you did, too.
I think I nailed it.
That little cannon was so good.
I remember with Zach and Brooke, they're like, what are we going to do with you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I got it. Like, together, we sort of came up with, I'm like, I know how to dance, and I will just mimic to the best of my abilities everything. And anything I can't do with my lower body, I'll just use my arms. And so there, you'll see there's many times where I like straight up will just do even foot movements with my hands on my lap just to sort of make it work.
I have another fan question here. Podcast One fan question. Have the gay jokes aged well? So in the scene, after we perform The Freak, there Kurt says, it's too gay in response to Mr. Shu saying, what's wrong with the song? Right.
Yeah.
I think he's right on target.
Well, I think he can say that.
Yeah, and also the fact that, like, Ryan's writing it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think we were ahead of the curve at that point, you think?
I think when you are sort of abrasive like that and you're not trying to be too PC, to me, that was when the show was best.
Right.
And you did it in a way where those jokes, to me, totally still play. I think there were some other ones as we go along that probably haven't aged as well because they're not used in that way.
Right.
Well, I think you have a gay character calling something too gay is pretty damn hilarious.
Ugh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Okay. So
also, I would like to, during that scene, I was sort of taken aback. I forgot how nerdy Artie was because by the end of the series, Artie was just me.
Well, everybody got a little right?
Like, we had all just become ourselves in real life. And that whole showmance, I was like, oh, my gosh.
No, Rachel was, like, looked crazy. Everybody looked crazy. Like, I looked the most goth. I don't know. That's a questionable. But, like, everybody just looked almost like, well, yeah, the younger version of and the most extreme version of who the characters and the way that they built them in the pilot, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this scene with Sue Sylvester, Principal Figgins, Mr. Shu, Rachel, and Finn, I just loved it. Because when Sue says that they should be hobbled and she's mad about 17 photocopies, like, that to me, like, set the tone of this, like, how ridiculous it is, including Jocelyn Gilsig, who was not in that scene, but set the tone for the
Master
show
class
as well.
This episode. Ugh,
genius. But like, I just loved it. I loved the little Sue one-liners. It made me so happy.
And that scene where Shu walks in to Sue's office and she's on whatever exercise machine.
The elliptical.
Yeah. And that was just sort of like Ian Brennan at his best, because he would always write these insane Sue like diatribes. And I think that was because we had the pilot. The pilot was what it was.
Right.
And this was really the first time we're like, okay. Oh. So we're taking what we did and just pushing it
110 times the. Well, here's the thing also people should know, if you don't, that the writers, because there were only three of them, would take scenes and write for specific characters and specific storylines. So a lot of all of Sue Sylvester was Ian Brennan.
Right.
And like it's Ian in his pure brilliance, and that's it came through in Jane Lynch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sylvester's
match made in heaven.
Genius.
So going back to that scene you're just talking about in Figgins' office, it also brought up, we always would sort of make fun of Corey for doing his like I'm trying to be hot face, but I'm also like 16 face, and you're really 26 in real life. And it's like this thing he does where he like squints his eyes, and he did it so many times in the episode. I was like, oh God, I miss this so much. Where he's like, but it's totally accurate because I have a 17-year-old nephew, and when you take photos, and all, they're always like pulling a face. And we used to give him so much shit for it, and it was, I think it was so good, like so
I
right on.
I love that face.
Yeah. You
go
know
back
exactly
and look
what
for
it,
it now. No,
yeah.
You really do. You'll know exactly what it is. Okay. This gymnasium scene with Rachel when she calls us to order and says we're going to give them sex, S-E-X.
Yeah, planning a coup.
That? Yeah, planning a coup against Mr. Shu.
Oh.
When Kurt says blood, I'm not kidding. We could not keep it together.
No. Was it late at night, too? All I remember is that it was the end of like a really long day. Maybe we had filmed Push It earlier that day or something.
No, probably.
Yeah. And I just remember it was maybe the first time we were all on set and we got the giggles like
this.
And
Chris couldn't do it.
We could. None of us could handle it. I was freaking out. I'm like, I'm so unprofessional. I can't keep a straight face.
I feel like that was a lot of season one because like we just weren't used to each other yet. So everything was funny and we weren't desensitized. But Chris, I remember when he's saying blood, that's when we all were bonding over those crazy, like including Ryan, those crazy YouTube videos. Like the newscaster that calls the man gay instead of blind.
Yes. And
the model
he's gay.
And he's gay.
Blind.
I'm sorry. Blind. And like the model who Weeble Wobble is on the on the runway
because
with her heels.
YouTube and sort of, we didn't realize like what memes were at the time, but these sort of viral things, we didn't have the word viral for that.
No. YouTube was new.
Yeah.
But the blood one was Chris doing the blood. To the little boy who, it's just, there. I don't know, that was a really fun scene.
It was so good. We lost our damn minds.
I know.
I would like to just talk about costumes for a second.
Okay.
Because, one, like, Emma was going full,
so great.
Full out for Shu. Oh, love that she was just totally unabashedly, like, good for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But her costumes are distractingly amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Distractingly?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it's sort of like, oh, Lou, who did the costumes, is so good. And I remember being obsessed with all of her costumes.
Yeah.
And then just shout out to Lou because
I think
all the characters' costumes were just
We're going to have to
insane.
Have her on and talk about setting all these costumes because Tina wasn't even goth in the beginning. But we'll talk about that another time. The Push It scene.
Yeah, let's just talk about Push It.
I mean, I just remember even like when Jame was like, yay, Glee!
Yes.
Glee, hooray! It's just so funny.
She's my favorite.
And this was the first time we had done a big number in front of 100 extras.
Also, wait. Can we talk? So we had been in the tin shed rehearsing this for weeks. So the crew didn't know what we were doing. The crew, like camera department, sound, all that, nobody knows what we're doing until we rehearse the scene on the day of shooting it. So everyone knows what we had done. Le Freak, Gold Digger, all very, very clean and PC.
Yes.
Don't Stop Believing. Doesn't get any cleaner than
that.
We are like walking with intention. That's all we were doing.
That's all we're good at.
And then We rehearsed Push It at like 7 in the morning for the crew. And I just remember Andrew, the egg hammer. I just remember he's the sweetest, sweetest man.
Yeah.
And he was standing right in front. And I was like, oh, poor Andrew. He doesn't know what he's about to see.
Yeah.
Like, shield your eyes. And then we rehearsed it. And the crew sort of had the exact same reaction
as the audience in the episode. At first, the silence.
They were silent, and then they're like, oh my God. Everyone's looking at each other like, can we cheer for this?
Yeah. Nobody knew each other that well either. That's the thing. Like, later on, you're like, you look at Andrew, and you're like, what the hell are we doing? This is it today. But, like, early on, you didn't do that. And sweet, sweet Andrew's poor eyes. Like, I'm surprised he's not blind from that.
It was...
Gosh.
That was my favorite part. Because none of us thought of that. We didn't think of that. No. And then we do it, and everyone's silent. We're like, oh, God,
but
did we suck?
But I remember being embarrassed about it, because I was like, wow, there's like 150 extras here, and nobody knows who the f*** we are. We're not famous. This is not a show that people know.
Yeah, but I love that. And I think that part of the show, just like the jokes, were why I loved the pilot when I first read it. Because that was totally my sense of humor, where I'm like, we're like paid to do this? Like, we're like miming sex with each other on stage as high school students doing Push It?
I can't believe that Fox let us do that number at all.
Oh, yeah.
That made it to network TV.
Side note, when I went home for Christmas the following year after it had aired, my niece and nephew knew all the choreography and were doing it with each other.
And how old were they at that time?
Too young.
Yeah.
Under the
double digits.
Oh, yeah. I told my sister, I was like, first of all, this is wrong for a number of reasons, but they should not be watching this show.
Okay. All right. Well, that number speaks for itself, I think. But we had fun doing it. And
I had a blast
hanging out in between behind the curtain and like chatting with everybody and like playing question games and like getting to know everybody.
I think we also just felt good because we made everyone laugh so hard.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was like, okay, if we can make the crew laugh, and I think that was sort of the precedent for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Where if the crew liked it,
like it felt good.
And they always told, like, sometimes when we weren't sure about something, they're like, yeah, I'm not sure this one works. Like, it was a really honest test to see how we were doing. And from day one, when we did Push It, they were all about it. It was like, yes, nailed it.
Okay, I want to talk about this very sweet Rachel and Finn scene that is, I think, the encompasses the showmance title that was given to episode two, right?
And one of the most iconic scenes of Glee.
Totally. Ever. I mean, they used it in all the promos, like on Amber's high note at the end of Somebody to Love, and then it's them kissing and Leah closing her eyes, and I thought it was really great. The funniest part of that was the mailman, the mailman moment that they played throughout the whole episode with him explaining, you know, that's how he...
Mm-hmm.
Keeps skeeting too early. And that mailman face really became something that I would make. I don't remember if anybody else did this, but I would be like, can you do the face? And all the time, I would just make Corey do the mailman face.
I remember
face.
You asking him
like,
that.
Do it. Please do it. And he would do it all the time. And I was like, this is the most iconic thing of Glee. This is Glee.
I also loved, I had forgotten how dumb Finn was. He turns around and she's like, are you hungry after that rehearsal? And turns around and just a full pick. He's like, oh yeah, I was wondering what that was for. It's like, Finn's the best.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
It was so weird. I really felt like this was the first episode. I think the pilot was just so solid, like a movie.
Yeah.
Where everything was good. It wasn't that weird. Like, everything sort of made sense. And this was the first episode where, like, okay, this show's really strange.
It's just centric. You know, it's like, it's so specific, but yet there's so much to cover. and I mean, like, that's what I said about, like, early Diana and, like, Heather and Naya, Santana and Brittany.
We have to talk about the Unholy Trinity.
Quinn. The Unholy Trinity doing Say a Little Prayer. That freaking number. I watched it again and I was like, I get why people watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, you get it.
I remember I snuck in and watch while they were filming it.
Ugh.
And it was me sitting behind Ryan, and I have a picture of it. I can post it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post it when we put this up. And I just remember, I don't know if I told him this or in my head, I was like, this sort of like when I had this moment with Corey during the pilot where I was watching and I was like, I need to remember this. This is very special because this is phenomenal.
Gold.
At that point, I'm like, this is the best thing we've done.
Gold, gold, gold. I have a question from a PC1 fan. Did you guys know that Santana and Brittany would become main characters or as big as they were? No.
Absolutely not.
And I mean, they didn't know. Fan favorites. They didn't know. We didn't know.
I think it's also a
test. We loved them.
I think it's a testament to how like talented and
like special they were
in real life, like as humans. Yeah. Because I think being around Ryan was around all the time.
He gave them those things. The inspiration of like who they were as people. Like,
and sometimes
Heather and I talked about that.
Filming it, he would like throw out lines to people,
like Heather a lot.
Yeah, and then it just sort of became a thing.
Yeah, no, I love that number, and I was like, I get it. I get how you get the gay men and the straight men to watch the show. And I just want to make a note. I really want to get to take about because I have so many memories from it. But Terry. In this episode, Jesalyn Gelsig is literally a comedic genius. She got the tone before anybody else. She set the tone for the show. She made everything acceptable.
But she had done a Ryan show before, hadn't she? Was she on Nip Tuck?
She was on Nip Tuck, yeah. And she got f***ed off a rooftop.
Yeah, there you go.
But I will
say... So she knew what was up doing a Ryan
Murphy
show.
She did know what was up. That bitch knew. But, like, the faking the pregnancy, too. I remember watching that, like, when we first saw the episodes and going, oh, we're going there.
Yeah.
Like, this show is going
there.
That
moment when she's at the table after she finds out that she isn't pregnant and she has something to tell Will and then she decides not to. It's like,
so good.
And I felt like we started to... We'll talk about this with our amazing guest.
Yes.
But this is also, we used to screen the episodes, and I remember watching that, and that was one of those moments where, mm-hmm. just like you said, we're like, oh,
right.
This show
right.
is going to be wild.
Wild.
Like,
and we,
wild.
And actually, we said that, and we had no idea.
Yeah.
okay. So we get to the end of the episode. The Unholy Trinity gets brought in to be part of the Glee Club because Mr. Shu's plan has worked. We need more members.
And
so
Sue has then
given them the job of becoming their spies. They will infiltrate,
mm-hmm.
and then they will go back and report to Sue Sylvester.
Love that.
So Rachel is very upset, and then we go into boom, boom.
I forgot you guys were in this number.
And this was the time when we still got to do our own backups.
Yes.
Our own backup vocals. So that was actually us. So for people who don't know, later on, there was no time, and we have a very, very talented group of people led by Tim Davis.
That were much better singers than we were.
Freaking fantastic background singers that do that for a living. They were amazing, and they made every song, elevated every song, and we didn't have time to do that, nor were we good at it, so they hired somebody else.
The first 13, you're getting us on the background.
And that's why it sounds so raw.
I watched this episode with Austin, and Austin was like... He was like, yeah, definitely sounds different with you guys on the backgrounds.
Oh, my.
I'm like, thanks.
So this is one of the numbers, unlike Push It, where we were, it was late at night. Leah was doing her thing at the mic. She's all good. You know, she knows how to do it. And Amber and I are backup dancers. And Amber's like, don't you think we should move? And I was like, you're right, bitch. We should move. So... We decide, Zach comes up, he's like, okay, guys, what do you want to do? And we're like, should we sway? And then comes my favorite part. So we're swaying. He's just left, right, and left, and right. And then he's like, and then we should reach out our arm and then bring it back and tickle the b- and then reach out, tickle the b- and pull it back. And I was like, who is this man? And what is happening right now? So
special.
Tickle the b- was part of the first of the very many inappropriate.
But that's also how we would remember choreography. And to this day, that's how I remember a lot of these things. Because they would throw in these insane little phrases. Like, great. Now I'll remember it.
And we have another fan question from PC1 that asked, how much ADR was done for the vocals and for the show? Well, let me tell you, our sound department was...
You mean that Emmy-winning sound department?
The Emmy-winning sound department. Phil, Patrick. But also... Leading into our very, very special guest, she can tell you all about the ADR and that we didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Most shows, you have to go every episode and do ADR. I think I did it once.
And how
in 6 years.
And how it worked for the singing is we record
before.
All the singing in a recording studio.
And then
lip sync it. Lip sync
to
it.
So go back and look and see who's a good lip syncer and who's not, because I can tell you.
Oh my God, wait. We all sucked in this episode. Can I say? We were
because
all...
Because you have to actually sing, and you think you have to whisper and not sing, but you have to actually sing for it to look real.
We also, like, didn't know. There were so many...
Some people caught on to that. Some people never caught on to that.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. Keep going. What were you going to
say? No, I was like, you see it, like, there. I think during Gold Digger, Leah is mouthing the entire rap the whole time.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the rap.
Oh.
This is the first time he's on Mr. Shoe Rap.
Oh, and unfortunately, it wasn't the last.
Poor viewers. I'm just kidding. We love Matty Mo. He's just such a trooper. And, like, who knows how to background vocal to rapping, though, honestly.
It was crazy.
Let's bring our very special guest in.
Yeah, let's do that. Enough of us.
We're going to bring Alexis Martin-Whittle, who began working at Ryan Murphy TV on Nip Tuck and has really rose to the top as president of Ryan Murphy TV now, like, executive producing a million of...
Like, literally...
Pose, Ratchet, American Horror Story.
Everything.
Glee. I mean, like, you name it, she's done it.
We used to tell her back in the day, we're like, build your empire. She's done it.
The empire is built.
Before we keep going, let's give a shout out to LaCroix. Because some people love slushies, some people love sparkling water, but the classiest people, like myself and Jenna, go for a LaCroix, America's top-selling branded domestic sparkling water. LaCroix sparkling water was developed to give health-conscious consumers refreshment, flavor, and most importantly, sparkle, with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium. All LaCroix flavors are confirmed to be derived from natural sources with natural fruit essence. The newest flavor, which is so good, is hibiscus, joins the family of other flavors like key lime, tangerine, mango, and the ultimate classic, grapefruit, pamplemousse. The LaCroix family also includes 6 LaCroix Curate flavors, including pineapple strawberry, kiwi watermelon, and cantaloupe pink grapefruit. There are also newly added flavors to the Nicola theme like coconut cola and coffee exotica, all of which contain no caffeine or alcohol. LaCroix sparkling waters and LaCroix Curate sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are perpetually sustainable and recyclable. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water or check them out at LaCroixWater.com.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Alexis Martin-Whittle! Clapjack! Oh my God, thank you for coming in your insanely busy schedule.
It is my pleasure because I love you too.
Oh, we love you.
It's
We're
an
just
honor.
So proud of you and your
thank
empire
you.
Looking down on us, little folk.
Oh, I've been looking down on you guys for years.
Sure.
Years.
Sure.
Dina Goen Jang.
My friend just told me recently she knows a Tina Cohen. And I was like, she's got to marry someone with a Chang.
Wait a minute.
So we had just been sort of going through the episode.
Yes.
And because this was months after we did the pilot, mm-hmm. and the pilot was its own entity, mm-hmm. that this was the first time we were getting into whatever the show was going to be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of questions for you in terms of how what you were still fairly...
I was like baby producer. I had front end, yes. I had a front end producer credit, but I was really running post production. Mm-hmm. I wasn't totally doing the creative yet. That happened really at the end of Glee season 1 and the beginning of American Horror Story is where I started going much more into the creative. But I was in working on the cuts and talking about it. And I mean, I distinctly remember one of the early days when I realized that Ryan was right and I was wrong because I read the script and I was like, what do you mean Rachel and Finn kiss? It's episode 2. We have to want it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I know this is right. And I was like, but what happens if they kiss? What happens if we run out of story? He's like, I'll make more story. And guess what he did? And by the way, it was the best
iconic.
Thing ever. It was iconic because suddenly you're like, oh my God, they kissed. Oh my God, they kissed.
Yes.
And then are they going to kiss again? And what's going to happen? And it's really exciting. So I remember spending a lot of time on that scene in the auditorium where she has the little picnic for him and they can't sit comfortably. And it's a... It was a thing. And so her skirt was really short, and we were trying to edit around to protect. Oh, yeah. Because Rachel Berry wore really short skirts, always a cap sleeve. She was never sleeveless until later.
Knee socks.
And so trying to make sure that we were protecting Leah as an actress and protecting the story and also making it not awkward. But you're filming two people who are on a stage having a picnic. That's
probably the shortest skirt. I remember that skirt. Yeah. It's probably the shortest skirt she wore in that whole episode, too.
I don't know if it was the shortest skirt she wore in the whole series.
No, they got shorter.
The more sophisticated Leah Michelle got, right? Yes. Exactly. Leah, I love you.
That's what we said. We were like, as we moved on.
As we grew up.
Like, Tina became Jenna. Yeah.
So
Artie became Kevin. Very quickly.
Artie became like white boy rapper.
Yeah.
Artie took over from where Mr. Shu left off.
I was with Matt a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about his rapping. He's like, I don't know why they had me stop rapping. They had you take over for me. And I was like,
I don't know why either. None of us know why.
I didn't want to rap. I'm not a rapper, but that's what happened.
Yeah. So we didn't become friends until later, like later season one.
But yeah, that was early days. And so we just all kind of liked each other. But it wasn't really till we got going that I had the time to come down and
Well, yeah, you spend. Weren't on set with us every day. Mm-mm. And so that was the big difference. Mm-mm. Like you were in a peculiar situation where you were looking at our faces every day.
But I know your moves.
And
I
we didn't
you
knew. We didn't know you.
Yeah, you didn't know me.
Do you remember when Ryan used to screen the episodes for us?
Yes.
He would bring us in. And that's when we would see you and become friends with you.
Exactly.
And I feel like everybody got nervous.
Really?
Like we'd go in and be like, oh, God, what are we going to see? Especially with this episode.
Yeah.
It was
this
the first
is a good episode.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
So I have a question for you overall. You got to see more, and sometimes I didn't even notice. Like, did a lot get cut from the episodes?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You always are tailoring, and you're always trying to make it better and stronger. And especially because, you know, the day and age that we're in now on cable, you don't really have to be limited by runtimes. But when you're on a network show, you are controlled by runtimes because you're controlled by ad dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ryan, who has such an epic brain, thinks so big, and then suddenly you're like, well, this is about 12 minutes too long.
This is a feature film.
Yeah, or 20 minutes. And so you have to kind of constantly say, well, what's the story? What's the most important? A lot of times with Glee that's interesting, and I think the fans probably realize this because they would listen to the Glee music on their own, we would very frequently lift verses out of songs. You guys would record the whole thing. You might even film the whole thing.
Right.
But that was an easy place where you're like, I need to save 30 seconds and I don't want to break story.
Right.
And we get it and the music still is great. And so there's some songs that you could easily do a quick lift in to make it concise and to the point, because a lot of times, if you think about it, a lot of our music was from the music of it all, but a lot of times, like with Vocal Adrenaline or something, it was about a story point, about a rivalry or about something else. And so you want to get kind of the flashy parts that show that are exciting and show, but if it's just two people standing on stage singing, sometimes you do just want to nip that out and save time. But a lot would get cut, but it would be little things. It was never, you know, giant storylines.
Right. I only remember there was one scene we shot. It was later on in the seasons, like probably four or five, and it was a dressing room scene, which we'll get to at some point. But the whole thing got cut, and we worked Friday night from 8 to 2, and it got cut. It was part of the wedding.
I know,
the whole scene got cut. That doesn't usually happen.
It happens more often. Sometimes you realize, the more you know the show, the more you realize that you've written a story that is interesting, but it's cluttering from what the focus is, and so you yank it. But it's really hard because the cast and the crew are not a part of the process of sitting in the dark that Ryan and I are in, where we're sitting here talking about, well, what makes it stronger? And we really are talking with character names. We're not saying Jenna and Kevin worked really hard on that scene. We're like, well, yeah, Tina and Artie are good, but Tina and Artie hit that same point three other times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if we lose it here, it's going to be more effective there.
You got to trim the fat.
So you have to trim the fat, because at the end of the day, everything's better. Everything's better when it's been edited, when it's been whittled down a little bit, when you leave people wanting more. But there are scenes where you're short for time, and that was the episode when Quinn gets in the car accident, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. We had so many weddings.
There's so
on this
many
show.
Weddings, honestly. I don't know.
We need the Glee fans right now. We have a Glee fan somewhere who's like, I can tell you about every single wedding. I should be on that podcast.
Yeah.
So please let us know.
How did you feel coming into the show? Because it was so odd. There was so much music. Like, did it feel different to you, or did it feel sort of standard? Like, I'm used to this, or this feels very
different. No, Glee was new for everybody. Glee broke down barriers. Remember how many Glee summer camps, Glee foundations, Glee clubs, people found themselves. It was, it, Glee really did change the whole conversation about what a television show could be. And this is, again, why we all love Ryan, is that he's a visionary. He sees what he feels he wishes he could see, and then he puts it on the air. And suddenly everyone's like, oh, this is brilliant. We're going to have musical shows
and
forever.
Does it well. I mean, and that's does it the well. Difference.
And so with Glee, Ryan said, we're going to do a musical. And it's going to be pop culture songs, which is great, as opposed to, you know, a Broadway show. And he said, we're just going to, you know, I have a plan for this. And so we jumped out of Nip Tuck and into Glee, and we did the pilot. And
so
you
different.
Could just tell the pilot was special. I still remember when we shot it at that high school in Burbank in the fall. I remember how it smelled. Like, every October in the Valley, I'm like, oh, this is Glee season. It's just there's just a smell. And I remember when I met Ian, and I remember going to set. And we spent so much time working the opening of that show, of how Mr. Shoe drives up in the pilot, and you know, I mean, the number of times we made the joke about I like mine scalding, you know, I mean, it's like, and it was also in the very beginning of iPhones, you know, when she's like, I'll probably gonna make it from an iPhone. You know, and so we were just so kind of blown away by it, and we were really blown away by you all. I mean, it was really magical. And it was magic. You know, the phrase lightning in a bottle exists for a reason, because there was such a synthesis amongst the group. And I believe episode 2 is when the unholy trinity is formed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember knowing that Naya and Heather had been cast essentially as background dancers and part of the Cheerios, and how they elevated and they turned those roles into what they became because of what they brought to set.
Exactly.
And so watching you guys as a unit coalesce was really cool for me, because I'm going through the dailies with the editors, and we're talking about this and we're talking about that, and we're learning the same thing, as how do you tell a story through song? Where do you need to go to the wide? Where do you need to go to the close-up? How are we going to be most effective?
Was that an adjustment for you? Because
yeah, it's just new.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing music videos, but trying to tell a narrative, right, during that.
But if you think about the best music videos, there's always a good story.
Yeah,
the best that's anything true. There's always a good story.
It's like, it's all about telling the story.
I never want to watch a music video like if we're going to talk Madonna, for example, which I know the power of Madonna you guys will get to. But if you think about some of Madonna's best music videos, you've got you know, Like a Prayer and Express Yourself, which feel very story driven. But then you've got Frozen later on, and then and you're like, yeah, you look cool, but you don't. Nothing's happening in this video. So no one talks about how great that video was. You know, like that sort of thing. So with Glee, we would occasionally have the songs where it was just one of you would be standing alone and planting your flag and singing a song to an empty house or an empty auditorium. And so that was a time of performance, performance, performance. Get that close up. Get the scope for the big as you belt. I'm not going to belt it out because I don't sound like you guys. But as you belt it out, you go to the wide shot. You come in for the glistening tears in the eyes. That's how you think about an individual performance. Mm. But like vocal adrenaline was a really important cutting pattern because you want to see large groups moving in syncopation.
Right.
It's why Beyonce's music videos are so incredible, because you get that epic scale of one unit moving with all these different parts, but it's actually, you know, 40 people on stage. And so you do think about what you're cutting. And in vocal adrenaline, especially until we had Jesse St. Clair?
Jesse St. James. Yeah.
Until we had him with his glorious hair, we didn't have a specific villain. Vocal adrenaline was just a villain. So we didn't need to cut to close-ups as much as we needed to see their killer
moves. And they were actually good dancers.
Oh, they were so
unlike
good.
Us. We were like,
no, you guys were terrible.
We were like, this is a lot of close-ups.
Oh, no. All we knew how to do was maybe walk in a line and not a straight one.
Like when you guys are doing
like, I guess it's a diagonal.
Or Le Freak.
Le Freak. I don't know. It's like the bird's eye view is like we could be standing there and they call action and that's when we move out of it.
Also,
and
do you remember that Ryan would come into the dance rehearsals and be like, we need more arms. We need more arms up. We need everything up.
I mean, Don't Stop was
epic.
15 different renditions before we actually got to the one that landed.
Say a Little Prayer. There's all those shots from above where the thing up was like, I remember Ryan doing the arm motion
like, I see it. I know what I need.
He's visual always and he always knows, which is so cool. But that it is. It changes how you tell the story depending on what the song is. And so you know, and then there are the songs like, okay, let's pull up that song list. Do you have
Gold Digger, Push It, Say a Little Prayer, Take a Bow. You know, you get your first like rapping choir room number.
Like current
that actually
hit
was like
moment.
Yeah.
Oh no, when Gold Digger came out, everyone was really excited. I mean, it was really fun.
I also remember like that in the studio was weird because I wasn't supposed to sing on that song and we were all there with Ryan, which might have been the only time Ryan was in
the recording studio with us.
That I remember.
Yeah.
And then we were all doing the backgrounds and he's like, Kevin, can you just You try that. You shout that out. And then Amber, you try it. And it was like this, we were all figuring out every part of the show together.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's part of what makes, you know, as you tell stories, you start to see who's good at what and where do you gravitate to who when. I mean, I always tell everyone, you guys have heard this, and I know you've heard this especially, but I talk about the say what moment. Because Glee was cut in a way, and the dialogue is so sharp, and it was so clever, but there was always like 12 of you guys on camera when you're in the choir room. And it would be so rapid fire that very frequently I would say to my editors, don't forget that we're the audience. We're telling the audience when to pause and when to laugh. So we want the dialogue to fly, 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 fly. But then when there's that one line that's really, really weird, but you still need to blow through it, that's when I almost always would be like, cut to Artie. He always is like, say what? Because Kevin's face never stopped working.
Never so stopped.
Like, you could always count on something really funny.
And cut to like, Artie.
I was always so – by the way, I guess I should thank you because all of my weirdest things always made it in.
Yeah, because your weird shit's funny.
I would do stuff as a joke where I'm like, Naya, what should I do this time? Or I'm like, Naya, watch this. I would do things for the cast members and then it would always make it. 9 times out of 10, it would end up in it.
Yeah, well, because it gave us something to use. And that's the thing is at a certain point when you have 12 people sitting there, a lot of times people are just kind of sitting there and listening. But watching someone listen's not that exciting.
No, reacting.
So reacting is different. And that's where we would go.
Okay, I want to talk about the iconic montages of Glee that I, when I'm watching back the show, I feel as though that became such a thing, like a thing in the shows that we would do. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, the great thing about a montage is, you know, some people love them or hate them. You can do a lot with a montage. You can get a lot of story in, you can get a lot of FaceTime in, and you can blend different worlds to commit to a theme. And it highlights a theme when you take a song and then you start to realize, oh, this is a great thing. We don't need this whole scene of, I'm just going to use Tina and Artie since you're right here. We don't need a whole Tina and Artie, but we need this moment of it. But wouldn't it be great if we could also connect it, because it feels like what Quinn's going through or what Rachel's going through. And so it became a great tool, and because we're a musical, to move through story in a way that you aren't, you don't just have scene to scene to scene, because sometimes you just need to be carried through to get to what the next point is. So, but yeah, montage became a really very powerful tool for us.
Yeah.
And I think just musically it makes sense.
Ugh, just love that.
I mean, I love a makeover montage.
I don't know. Oh, my God.
Any makeover montage.
I mean, I feel like that's the go-to. That's the most classic style
montage.
No,
everyone needs a makeover montage. Yes. Everyone needs it.
I still don't know how you guys would just... Okay, let's go back to like the fan question of why we didn't have to do ADR.
Well, Ryan doesn't like ADR. What Ryan likes is an organic performance.
And ADR, for everyone... Oh, you're better explaining it than me.
Well, it's additional dialogue replacement. When I was baby producer on Nip Tuck, ADR was sort of my first way into learning how to work with actors, because low man on the totem pole, or in a sense, low woman on the totem pole, would go and meet the actors and get them through, because, you know, it's, you're kind of filling in the blanks.
I remember one time you had to bring me in for ADR because it was during the Grease up when we were doing Summer Nights, and there was a line, or I had to add a line. I can't remember what it was, but it was the first time I'd been in for ADR. I was like, wow, we've never been in for ADR. I'd never done ADR before in my life. And you were like, I was like, oh my God, I can't even repeat and lip sync to my face, because we speak so fast on this show. And you were like, do you see how fast you guys talk on this show? It's crazy.
It's crazy. I remember telling you, I said, I remember that was one of the first times we really bonded, where I was sort of just a backseat director. And I said, if you take your time when the camera comes to you and speak a little slower, I can do more with you. And you really heard me and change it. Because what happens is, and I think about this for everybody, if you don't have a ton of storyline, because I feel like Tina's character did not develop till later on. It was like
Definitely
Tina
not.
And Blaine, I think, is where really blossomed into giving her more dimension.
Yeah.
But I always say that if the, you know, everyone's used to being on set all the time. You guys are being filmed all the time. But on those episodes where it's not an Artie heavy episode or not a Tina heavy episode, you'd sit there for hours. You know how to, you know the drill. You're super professional. But oh my God, all of a sudden the camera's pointed at you for that one line. You're like, and then it's over. And you're like, you know, it's like you just blacked out.
Especially in the beginning, because at least speaking for myself, I was so terrified of like messing up in front of Ryan. Because I felt like every day I was going to get fired. And that wasn't anything Ryan did. That was just me having a job for the first time. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to do something. And I remember we would all just speak so, so quickly, because we were all like, there's 80 of us in the scene and there's so much dialogue to cover that we just have to get it out.
And we also like the tempo. I mean, the one thing is, there is a significant choice to make it that way. When Ryan directed the pilot, he was like, okay, go again faster. Okay, right. Go again faster.
Yeah.
Okay. And so in that respect, it was that you were trained.
It set a tone, right.
Yeah, and which is great because it was really fun for the world.
Mm-hmm. But you go to any other place and you're like, wow. Like, I remember after I really had to slow down. I was like, remember, Jenna, you're not Tina. And you're not talking a mile a minute, mm-hmm. you know?
I mean, sometimes my dad accuses me of being a Glee cast member because we talk on the phone. He's like, it's just like watching Glee. Because I talk a little fast. I am talking deliberately slowly for all of you today.
I think we do talk fast in real life anyway. Kevin,
you
too.
And I?
I think you are the fastest talkers.
You guys, Jenna and I can sit there.
You guys
and
have their own language. It's like they're just...
I mean, I understand every single thing you're saying, so why does no one else?
Thank you.
Because you both are like mini moguls. And to be able to like...
You have a lot in your head
you
all the time.
You gotta get it out real fast.
Yeah. I can't compute.
Yeah.
I'm a little slow compared to you guys.
No. I think in general...
Men.
That's ladies.
Yeah.
Let ladies rule the world.
What other memories do you have of Showmance? And if not Showmance, what are other memories you have about season one?
I loved Glee. Glee was such a special... I mean, Glee mm-hmm. season one especially was so special.
It felt we all came up together.
We all came up together. Baby.
Well, and for me, it was like... So Glee was 2010.
2009.
Yep. I was 29 years old. So I was closer in age to you guys than I was mm-hmm. to all of the other producers. Mm-hmm. And I had this natural split. And also, not only was I closer in age to you guys, I also liked to go out. And I loved fashion. And I loved –
I mean, you're still one of the best dressers I've ever met in my entire life.
I am flattered and I will take that all day long. But I felt a real camaraderie with you guys. And I was sort of between two worlds because I wasn't quite old enough to be like – the boss.
Right.
But I wasn't young enough to be the kid. Also wasn't on TV.
We were also
with, but, you know, but so it allowed me to actually have a really nice friendship with you guys mm-hmm. that was work. It started from a place of work where we met each other as colleagues, mm-hmm. but I got to trust you. And it was fun for me. But Glee was really special because we all, with the exception of Leah, who came from Broadway, and I know you came from Broadway, mm-hmm. but I feel like none of us knew what was about to happen.
Totally.
And when we got to New York for the upfronts, and for everyone, the upfronts are when the networks present to the advertisers what their fall slate is going to be, the lineup. And they run through every show. And in this situation, we had this pilot that was just beautiful. Oh, I remember. I loved this. We all got to New York. Ryan flew us all out there and said, you have to be a part of it. And most other shows and most other showrunners would never have said to baby post-producer me, mm-hmm. you have to be in New York with me. But Ryan and I obviously have a bond. We were driving down the main drag of, I think it was on Fifth Avenue or something. It was wherever we were going. And we rounded a corner in our car. And next thing you know, the streets are lined with these larger-than-life Glee
that.
Balloons. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge balloons. I'm spatial relationships challenged, but enormous.
Yeah.
And every single person was wearing a Fox t-shirt that said Glee. And yes. They heralded us in. And then we went into this big ballroom theater, I should say. And we watched a trailer for a couple shows that I remember will not name. And I remember thinking, and then then we played our Glee trailer. And our Glee trailer started with Sue Sylvester saying, you think this is hard? Try being waterboarded. That's hard. And next thing you know, it was off like a bullet. And then you guys came out in your little blue and black.
Oh, yeah.
And you sang Somebody to Love
yes.
to this entire audience that had never had that freshness or experience. And for me, yeah. I didn't know any better because I was just, like I said, a baby producer. This was a new world for me too. But I looked around and I just saw hundreds of people have no idea what they just got hit with. And that from there on, the Glee fever just hit and we got to celebrate together. And the upside of having all of that time together meant it led into a lot of dark times because we were really close.
Yeah.
And we did you guys had to grow up on camera.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard place to be. And so I think that had we not had such a tight season one, we wouldn't all look at the friendships we
True.
Still have.
Yep.
And
which is so
it's
rare.
Really rare.
Yeah.
It's really rare.
And it's rare to have that many people from that many backgrounds to actually get along like that.
Oh my God, did I tell you I got my nails done with Naya the other day?
What?
Oh my God, I called you. Naya, I know you're not listening, but I hope you're listening because I love you.
No, oh,
Am I allowed to say
yes?
Oh, good. I'm allowed to
we'll you out anyway.
Oh, don't bleep me out.
No, we have to.
Oh, censorship.
For censorship purposes. But we go boop.
Okay.
So it's okay.
Glee. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Remember remember the previously on Glee's where I'd have to bring Ian in and he'd be like,
yes.
So here's what you missed on Glee. He can talk faster than Jen and Alexis at the same time, all the time.
When did those start?
How did that start?
Because that didn't.
It was not we never planned on it. And then the network was like, you guys, you cover a lot of plot points every episode.
Yeah.
We need to remind the guest, or I'm sorry, the guest. We need to remind the audience that what's going on. And so Ian would come in. But at the very end, it would always say, because I believe in a brand and a formula, and you want to tag it the same way every time. And he would always say, and that's what you missed on Glee.
Yeah.
So you guys should use Glee to bleep yourselves out. That's my opinion.
Steve.
Can we get the rights to that?
Well, if you do it yourself,
we can just do it ourselves.
It's
ours,
anything.
Kevin.
All right?
Okay, right.
So Kevin, you're going to say F*** and we're going to go.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Glee! Yay!
Steve, the producer, is so impressed.
We're taking
you guys.
That now.
He's like, I'm everything I need to know in life I learned from Alexis
Martin-Woodall.
Oh my God, you guys remember when I would come to set? And I would come into set, you'd be like, Alexis Martin-Woodall. Alexis Martin-Woodall. I was like,
We just love your name.
I know.
And we love you.
Wait, before you go, so if you come to LA, Alexis, in her spare time, her lots of free time she has, and her husband have opened up a brand new restaurant in downtown LA. Please tell us about it.
Thank you. It's called Red Herring LA. I love a plug. It's Red Herring, and it's downtown in Los Angeles, and we had our first location out in the Eagle Rock, and we got essentially secret shopped by these big developers, and they said, we want you to come downtown. And actually, just I had the joy of being with my friends last night when they came. You two came for our little pre-opening party.
The space is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
The food is amazing because I know your husband and
very
I'm friends with your husband.
Ooh.
And he cooks like a G.
Yeah.
And everything about this restaurant was like, oh, you had your first restaurant and now here is your second restaurant. You learned. You got it. I got it.
I treat it like a TV show. It's you think about it, and I actually said the other day, I said, I really understand why Ryan's always moving forward and not going back and living in, the Glee. I mean, he talks about it with love, but he always looks ahead because once you tell the story, you're like, oh, no, I'm ready to tell a new story.
Yeah,
right.
And when we were done with Eagle Rock, like I said, we always knew we were going to close it before we opened downtown because we needed to be ready because it's just Dave and I and a really fantastic team. But we don't have the bandwidth. We're not a giant corporation to have two things running. And once we closed the first one, I realized – I don't want to reopen the first one. I'm done with the first one. The first one was how we learned. It was our first show. Now let's do our second show.
Oh.
And let's do it and let's add a little bit more glamour and everything.
Yes.
Do you miss the first one?
No.
The first show?
No. I love it, but it's in my heart with great memories, but I'm really excited about what's coming.
This feels like the right one.
That's right?
Right?
That's all it is. It feels like the right one. And
so great.
And it's, by the way, if you guys are out there, unless you are married to a chef or are a chef, do not open your own restaurant, okay? It is really, really difficult. Difficult, and I love what we do, but it is, if I didn't have Dave, we would not be doing it.
Well, no.
Remember when Dave taught you how to make pizza?
He did.
That was the best.
That was a good.
God.
Oh, yeah,
I think about
too.
It all the time.
Oh, I remember spilling wine on my very new white Converse that night.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
You spill on yourself all the time.
Well, I did today.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Can we talk about the score of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Because the score, I think, even to this day, if you talk to people, it is one of the most unique things, I think, a TV show. Like, that was, I think, one of the most memorable things about our show.
But like you said, like you believe in branded and consistent. Like, that was always so branded and consistent.
It felt right.
Yeah.
You know, I think I give a lot of credit to Brad Beaker, who cut the pilot, because I believe he was the one who found the Swingle sisters or the Swinglers. Yeah. But either way, you do something when you're putting anything together in life and you're cutting something together, you always do what's called temp score. You put temporary score in, score that has existed in other movies that you like or you find a song and you're like, I just want to put this in and see how it feels. And so Brad had been temping with a lot of these vocal. You know, it started with Fly to the Bumblebee. That's what it was.
Ah, that makes sense.
And the next thing you know, we were like, let's look at the rest of the album. And then how can we use this? And because it was official songs and we couldn't afford that, it inspired.
And all of our other songs,
exactly. it inspired us to sort of think about that. And then so it was very vocally driven. And then it was very much like marching band style, snare drum, tambourine. crushed because there was always a war between Will and Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Will and Sue.
Sue.
Let me break it down for you. I still think.
Achievement.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Achievement.
I do the worst Figgins and I never stop doing
it. We all do.
Oh,
no, but
we all
my
do.
Husband still says.
It was our favorite stuff.
My husband will still say Tina Ko and Chang
Tina
for no
Ko
reason.
And Chang.
For no reason. We just say Tina Ko and Chang because it's satisfying.
I was, I was just like, talking about speaking really fast. I didn't even get to speak until episode 8.
Oh, no, you didn't?
Barely.
I know.
Because I had a stutter, a fake stutter. Yeah. Which, I remember the day Ian, anyway, that's first wheels, but I remember Ian told me and I was like, I get to speak. I thought the rest of my life was going to be silent in goth clothes.
Killing the stutter was the best thing we could have done.
God bless America.
Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God.
Oh, you guys are so great.
Alexis, thank you so much for coming in
it
and sharing all
pleasure.
Your memories.
And parting your wisdom on us.
Anything I can do. You know, I love to give advice and I love to hear myself talk. So it's really good.
Well, congratulations to you too. You
thank
had a really
you.
Great
yes.
year. We're so
it's
proud
a big
of you.
Year. It's
yeah.
kind of crazy. So.
Yes.
You deserve it.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, I'm
nice
tired.
Things should happen to nice people. It doesn't always, but when it does, it's
you know,
great.
I That's really right. appreciate that. And you guys, I am really nice.
We're just ending the episode with that.
I'm so nice.
I'm so nice.
Don't worry.
Don't forget I'm nice.
I'm like so nice.
Don't ever forget how nice I am.
I'm really pretty too.
Well, Kevin, that was really fun.
I mean, Alexis is great. I love this episode.
I love this episode of Showman's Glee Recap Edition, and I love
the Glee episode.
The Glee episode Showman's.
Yeah.
Make sure y'all go back on the Netflix or wherever and go watch episode
three.
We're calling us three.
Acapellas.
Acapellas. So that next week you can recap with us.
It's a weird one.
It is a really weird one, but I have so many funny memories from it. Okay, come back next week, and thanks for listening. Bye! Thank you so much for listening to Showman's with us. And get new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude. And make sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a nice rating and a 5-star review, of course. And
spread the word.
Word.
See you next week.
Bye.